What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Girls with Goals with your hosts, Anne Catherine.
And Caroline.
Today, we're talking about why we will all be having hobbies this summer. Not just any hobbies, but hobbies that we're bad at, hobbies that we're practicing, hobbies that we're trying and learning, and you know what? Maybe making a fool of ourselves with all summer long.
I think we need to make fools of ourselves this summer. I keep saying it. I keep thinking it. I'll say it again. I need a high energy summer. I was going to say I need a fun summer, and it's true, I need a fun summer, but more than that, I need a high energy summer, because I don't want to be like, oh, I need a fun summer so bad that I'm like, you know, not doing everything else and it's all fun. I mean, like, I want a high energy summer. I want to be on my game with fitness. I want to be active. I want to be getting all the sun. I want to be reading books. I want to be hanging out with my friends. I want to be spending time with my family. Like, I just really need a good high energy summer. And I feel like some summers, especially the older we get, have really lacked that.
I think we all need to be doing more. Not like more at work, not more, you know, around the house, but we need to be doing a larger variety of things. We need to be doing more interesting things. We need to be doing more fun things in general. I think we've just lost the art of doing shit, which is what we're going to be bringing back this summer. And we're going to be bringing it back for a few reasons. One, obviously, it's enjoyable to do things that you enjoy, to do fun things, to try new things, to just be out and about and experiencing life rather than keeping yourself moving a little bit slower and at home. I really hope that everyone is feeling a similar wave of being excited to get out and do things and being excited about life again. I feel like for a long time, that's just not been the vibe as much as it was in like summer 2016.
Everyone is talking about making summer 2026, summer 2016 again. And I think the way that people have grasped onto that idea and the amount that I have seen it, I think just really goes to show where everyone is at right now and what people are wanting out of life. I think, you know, if it's the way I'm seeing it, I think we are burnt out by everything being optimize this, optimize that, by everything being, you know, AI and following other people and doing things for the screen and watching other people's lives more than we're living our own and feeling like every single thing needs to be productive. I think for the last 10 years, that's kind of what everything has evolved into, like on the internet and in life. And I think everyone is kind of having this wake up moment now where it's like, maybe that worked for a while. Maybe everyone really clung to that productivity and hustle culture and, you know, the way the world has been moving in that direction. But we kind of lost the art of having fun. And I think people really want that again, like having simplicity in life. And I really like what you said about having a variety of things. I think that's a good way to put it. I think we have gotten ourselves so focused on, I need to optimize this, I need to be productive at that, that like we've lost having variety in our lives.
The reason why hobbies are so important, because it's the complete opposite of everything you just said. Having hobbies is not immediately productive. Having hobbies has nothing to do with other people, which is why I think it's so important, because when you have a hobby, in particular, a hobby that you're bad at, and I know I've talked about this so many times, having hobbies that you're bad at, you don't have to be the best at it. That's not the point of a hobby. You want to learn something from it. You want to practice some things. But like, the point of a hobby is not to eventually be the best at it. It's to like have something to do that you enjoy personally. That has nothing to do with most other people. That has nothing to do with your work, and is something that you're not expecting a direct outcome of every time you do it. You know, you go to work, you expect an outcome. You get your work done. You know, move forward. You accomplish things at work. At home, you know, you're cooking dinner, and you're cooking dinner with the expectations of like, I'm going to eat healthier, I'm going to be productive, I'm going to clean my house.
Or literally, I'm going to have dinner to eat, you know?
Yeah. But I feel like everything else has this expectation of being, for lack of a better word, productive in some way, shape, or form. Even hanging out with your friends, a lot of the time, this is a different conversation, but we've lost the art maybe of just hanging out to hang out now. And part of that is like, everyone gets busy. There's less time to hang out, just to hang out. There's less spontaneous plans. So you say, oh, let's do dinner like a week from now. Let's do XYZ a week from now, so that it's planned out and you have this expectation that you are going to do this. There's no room or less room to just hang out and do things and let things be simple, like Caroline said.
And spontaneous. When you said that, I was like thinking about how when I was in New York and I had some of my college girlfriends there, like who were my roommates before, sometimes we would just walk into each other's apartments, or like one of my best friends called me a couple times and was like, hey, I'm in your neighborhood, can I come by for a minute? And like, she would come in and we would catch up for like 15 minutes, and then she would continue on her way. Or we would like, one time actually, I was out walking in Soho and I was like going from one place to another and I was like, oh, I need lunch right now. And I stopped for a place to lunch and I look up and it was Laura. Like it was like one of my best friends. And then we sat and we had lunch. And those are the most fun moments when you're not planning in advance. Like, oh, we need to catch up. We need to hang out. Let's find time to hang out. And then you put it off because it becomes this scheduled thing. Instead of just like being able to spontaneously and naturally weave other people and weave activities in your life. And I think in order to do that, we all have to kind of take our lives and our routines just a little bit less seriously enough to create space for moments like that, to create space for, you know, interactions with other people and spontaneous activities, because like those usually are the best, most fun moments in life. And I feel like the more you have them, the more you're like, oh, this is what life's about. Like, yeah, my routine matters and all the habits I'm doing matter, but like not if I'm not also enjoying it and sharing it with other people or doing things that are fun. And something that I love about hobbies and having a large variety of hobbies is that you get to know yourself in a lot of different ways through all of the different things you try, through all of the different things you do. So every time you pick up a new hobby, especially one that you're new at and that you're bad at, it's like you're unlocking a new character of yourself. Like, you're going to learn whether you like something or not. You're going to learn how you react to different things. There's such a trickle-down effect when you start doing something. If you start a new sport or if you start doing a new type of art, it might then change like your style and the clothes that you wear.
Totally.
It might change then the content that you're consuming or the things that you're looking up on the internet and the things that you're learning. So then it's going to change the conversations you have with friends. It might change the people you meet and the ways that you connect with people. So the more that you have a variety of hobbies that you're doing and things that you're trying, the more you can kind of explore different sides of your own personality. And the more I think that enriches your personality and enriches who you are through all of the ways that it can kind of like feed into the rest of your life. You know, should you be narrow and really good at one thing, or should you be broad and explore a lot of things? And I think, you know, different people like to fall on different parts of that curve. But I think when we have a variety of things in our life, it's really cool to be able to feel like we can flex into all different environments and that you can enjoy doing something and then set it down and then pick something else up. And like, it's not that serious. You can be a little bit more intuitive with the things that you're doing rather than having the pressure of like, this is the one thing I identify with. And so I am stuck in this lane and I have to be perfect at it and I can never stop and I can never try something else.
And it has to be the only thing I do or the biggest thing I do or the most, you know, intense thing I do, when that is absolutely not the case. You can do something once a month. You can do something a few times a year and it can still be an interest. It doesn't have to be, I did this, I will now do this every single day for the rest of my life. One, that's super intimidating and not going to work and you're probably going to lose interest. And two, that just takes all of the enjoyment out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But say it's like, oh, I like to draw or I like to do some sort of creative thing. Even me, I read very rarely, okay? Partially because the only time I have to read is like at night and then I read three sentences and I'm ready to sleep and then I put the book down. It takes me forever.
This is opposite and I have said this before. You know what? I think I actually said this to like a therapist once years ago when I was talking about my routines and I was like, oh, I like to like read or journal in the morning. And she was like, I feel like that's kind of backwards. And I was like, well, it's what I like to do. Because
why are you telling me it's backwards?
I was like, it actually is what works for me, because at the end of the night, sometimes I'm way too mentally exhausted to like write in a journal or read a book. But when I wake up in the morning, I need a minute before I can be fully awake and like physically active. And that is time where I can sit on the couch and drink coffee and read or journal. So I like to do it in the morning.
Okay.
Tangent.
I'm the opposite where once I'm awake, I'm doing things and it's not going to be reading. Every time I try read a book, like I have a book that I'm maybe a third of the way through and I started it. And I said, this is great. I did all of that reading within maybe 2 days. And since then, that was like a month ago, I've probably read 10 pages. Cumulatively.
That just made me have, what's the word when you feel like you've lived something before?
Deja vu.
That gave me.
To Alex reading his book?
No. To past years of this podcast where I feel like there have been weeks and weeks in a row where you've been like, I read a few more pages of the same book I've been reading, and like you were like on the same book forever. Like we've totally had that conversation on this show
because
years ago.
Do I read? Sure. A lot of other people read a lot more than me and a lot more frequently and a lot higher volume than me.
But that's fine.
So I would say reading is a hobby that I'm bad at. Point being, I don't read every single day. I'm not expecting to read every single day, but I'm going to read kind of frequently, and therefore I've learned to not put the pressure on myself to like, oh, I'm reading this book. I have to read it every day. I have to finish this in a week. I have to do X, Y, Z. Because that's never worked for me, one. And two, then when I do it, I'm like, okay, I'm not even paying attention to the words I'm reading. I'm just like, okay, this is page, you know, 95, only X more pages to go. And I'm like doing math the whole time. Yeah. And it takes all the enjoyment out of it.
Yeah. I was trying to think of examples of things that I have put off, and then it makes them feel so much bigger and more daunting when it's like supposed to be a fun thing. The one thing that came to mind is, for years and years, I have wanted to make like travel photo books of, especially like all the trips that Catherine and I have done together. We originally said this in 2023 when we took a semester off from school and we traveled. We were like, oh, we can make, you know, we'll make like travel photo books of all of our different destinations. It is now 2026. The job has become more and more daunting because we've gone to more and more places. And now it's like, oh my God, I would have to go back through, you know, so much of my camera roll, and I'd have to organize photos and do that. And I'm like, girl, that was supposed to be like a fun thing. Like, that's supposed to be a fun thing. And every time I think of it, it like feels like this daunting project. But it actually should be, because I'm such a nostalgic person. I would love having those books out like on a table, but I would also love making them. So that actually should be a goal for mine this summer, is to maybe like slowly chip away at that instead of making myself feel like it's this big project that I have to start and take on and like freak out about. It should be fun.
The other thing I think is very beneficial about taking that approach to hobbies, or taking that approach to doing anything and adding more variety into your life, is that you can make simple things feel enjoyable. It doesn't have to be, oh, I have to go on a trip, or it doesn't have to be, oh, I have to make this like big thing, major event. It can literally be, oh, I made this piece of art for my room, or, oh, I wanted to read this book, so I went and got it and I started reading it. Those kinds of things, instead of like turning things into massive events that put pressure on yourself and, you know, take energy, whether it be positive or negative, but take energy away from yourself that could be used elsewhere. If you just learn to try new things when you want to try new things, to do things when you want to do them, and to just make the time for these more hobby-like things rather than making everything a big thing. I can't do that today. I have work. Well, I'm sure you have 30 minutes when you're not working or you need a break from work. You can do something else that's actually going to help you relax and enjoy your life and like get grounded again. And that's kind of the point of having these hobbies that are less intense, is that by doing these things and taking a really relaxing and really chill approach to these things makes your life calmer. Even though you're doing more variety of things, you're spending more time doing things that isn't scrolling on your phone or like working or doing the basic tasks of life. Even though it seems like you're doing more because you are doing more, it makes your life calmer and it makes you have higher energy levels. It makes you be more productive in everything you do. It makes you be more present. There are so many, you know, positive benefits that follow that are so much bigger than a seemingly stupid hobby or a seemingly silly thing.
I think this is such an important conversation to have going into summer, because summer is a time that we literally spend all year looking forward to and romanticizing. And then the reality is, usually it comes and it's like, we still have to work. We still have our daily tasks. Unless we have the intention for it, it's easy to just like let summer go by and be in it and not like take advantage of it and not have fun, even though we romanticize it and we look forward to it so much. So I think it's like really important, especially with everyone saying, you know, summer 2026 needs to feel like summer 2016. We all want to have more fun. We all want it to feel more simple and real and authentic. I think we really need to set that intention beforehand and say, I'm going to create space for simple moments, for spontaneity, for having fun this summer, for picking up random hobbies and trying new things. Because, you know, I think the whole point of people wanting summer 2016 is like, it felt so simple and real and like playful almost. And that is what you get when you're willing to try new things. Because, you know, anytime you're doing something for the first handful of times, you're learning something, like you're playing, you're kind of making a fool of yourself. You have to I feel like it's kind of like a serious word for an unserious topic, but like surrender to like the experience of just being like, okay, I'm doing this and like it should be fun. And you're teaching yourself to not take things so seriously. And I think that's a little bit of what we all need this summer.
I haven't told anyone this yet, but Catherine and I are planning a trip back to Hong Kong in September. We lived there for 4 years growing up, which I feel like I reference somewhat often on the podcast because it shaped so much of why I love to travel and just who I am. To be fair, it's like a very important part of my life, especially by rebuilding the Mandarin that I lost after moving back to the US for high school. You guys know I love and use Rosetta Stone for Mandarin in general, but But instead of doing it more casually, I've been committing more often recently because I have this trip that I'm looking ahead to. Instead of memorizing random vocabulary words or constantly translating everything back to English, Rosetta Stone immerses you directly in the language. You learn by connecting words with images and context, and then gradually build those words into phrases and full sentences, which feels like a much more natural way to learn a language. They also have this true accent feature, which I find super helpful, especially with Mandarin when you're working with all different types of tones. It gives you real-time feedback on your pronunciation. Which is super helpful because I think understanding Mandarin has always come back more easily for me than confidently speaking it. So having a way to actually practice speaking out loud has been really helpful. And I know I'm not going to become fluent again overnight, but every lesson does make me feel a little more connected to the language and place that were such a big part of my childhood. And now that I have this trip on the calendar, it's given me even more motivation to stay consistent. If you're ready to start your language learning journey, head to rosettastone.com and use code TODAY to get started. That's rosettastone.com/today.
I'm a very big advocate for caring less.
Mm-hmm.
Like you will get so much more. Don't care none. Mm-hmm. Just care less and take the intensity and take the, you know, negative energy out of and the pressure out of whatever you're doing. It's a lot easier to practice that with hobbies that aren't your work, that aren't, you know, your home life or relationships. It's a lot easier to practice that when it's just you doing a hobby. It's you and something else. It's you and something seemingly minor, but it gives you the space to practice showing up. It gives you the space to embarrass yourself. It gives you the space to, you know, make a fool of yourself or be bad at something and learn how to cope with it, learn how to get better and learn how to like swallow your pride and practice, or learn how to swallow your pride and just admit that you're bad, but you're still having fun. So you're going to keep doing it.
It sounds really counterintuitive to say caring less, because to say care less almost, like, I feel like a lot of people interpret that as like, do less and, you know, don't do things that are like good for yourself. Don't try. But actually, caring less can mean doing more and trying more, because it means that you're caring less about what other people think of you. You're caring less about being perfect. You're caring less about the standards and the expectations of something. It's caring less about all of those things that gives you the freedom to actually do more and try more and be more confident in yourself. So it's like care less in the sense that you're caring less about the external pressures and what other people think and maybe, you know, the narratives that surround all different things. And instead, you're just doing more of whatever you want to do and you're following, you know, your own pursuits.
Which is 100% a practice of being confident too. And I mean, we've talked about it a million times over, but the most confident people and the most confident version of yourself, the way that you can be the most confident, is by being the least self-conscious, by caring about yourself less. Because when you care about yourself less, both, you know, how do I look? How do I sound to other people? How do other people perceive me? What am I wearing? When you care so much less about those things, you have the trust and you have the confidence in yourself that you're going to show up well.
Mm-hmm.
It's not go be a slob. It's not go, you know, give it your least effort.
No.
It's give it your best effort and don't care if you mess up. Don't care if you make a mistake. It's having the, you know, courage and interest and trust in yourself to keep going and to keep showing up for yourself, which is why doing these hobbies, especially doing them in a much more carefree manner, is really important. Because you say, I feel like I want to do that. I'm interested in doing that. I'm going to go do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having multiple hobbies or multiple interests, or really just having the capability to get up and do something when you want to do it, mm-hmm. is the benefit, because you're teaching yourself to trust yourself. You're teaching yourself that you're capable either of figuring something out or learning something or just trying something at the bare minimum. And that's what's going to get you so much farther and seep into every other aspect of your life. You're going to show up more confident. You're going to show up more willing to try, and you're going to show up more willing or more tolerant of, you know, embarrassment and mistakes and all of these things that are actually beneficial. You're going to rebrand them from being really negative things. And you know, I talk about this a lot too, where I don't really like really high highs and really low lows, which I think the energy of like, oh, I'm really embarrassed and I can only be, you know, I need to look this way and I need to be perceived this way to be confident. And, you know, caring about those things so much, when it's going well, you're on top of the world, it's going well. But then when it's not going well, which inevitably
happens,
you're not always going to show up and like look your best. You're not always going to show up and feel your best. You're not always going to show up and be your most articulate self or your most confident self. But if you can minimize the gap between the highs and the lows, you continue to show up consistently and you raise your neutral to be a lot more positive and a lot just enjoy what you're doing a lot more. So you actually, you experience a lot more positive overall and a lot less negative overall. And it feels a lot better because you're not constantly going up, down, up, down, up, yeah. down, which, you know, superficially having hobbies and doing things all summer, like we all will be doing all summer, is enjoyable. But it's also a practice of raising your neutral and kind of staying at that elevated neutral rather mm-hmm. than, I just had the best day ever. This is the worst day ever. Best day ever. Worst day ever. It's just like, yeah, I can make anything the best day ever. I can make anything yeah. a good time. I can enjoy anything and like make the most of something. I'm capable of that.
To your point about feeling self-conscious about showing up to something, I think we really neglect the fact that like other people don't actually care that much. We're not usually stepping into a group of people who are going to be judgmental of beginners or of people trying. If you're going into like a hobby that is kind of more public facing, or you're doing this with a group or there's other people involved, like it's so natural to get so self-conscious about like, oh my God, I'm gonna look so stupid. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm not good at this. Most of the time, people don't actually care, because if they love the activity, if they love the sport, they want other people to do it too. And also, it probably is going to be an ego boost for them to feel like, oh, I'm really good at this because look at this beginner and like, you know, we're so far apart. But I think most of the time people are really willing to help, and mm-hmm. we really neglect that like authenticity and honesty goes a really long way. So I think there's so much to say about stepping into something and just being like, hey, by the way, I've never done this before, but I'm really willing to try. Yeah. Or like, I think I could really like this. I'm really interested in it, but I don't know anything about it. And like just being honest about that straight up can really take you out of that self-conscious bubble, because you're like, okay, I've broken the ice. I've told them I'm not good. So now their expectations are there and there's nothing that can go wrong.
I think the gym is a really good example because mm-hmm. one, everyone starts not knowing shit about the gym, and it's something that you typically show up alone and you have to kind of make a fool of yourself at because you don't know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And even if you like have a trainer, but most people just show up to the gym and kind of figure it out. And for a couple of years, it's probably not going to look good. You're not going to realize that.
Yeah.
But then later you look back. I mean, we look back on videos or, you know, photos of yourself and you'd be like, what was I doing? How did I not feel that was like weird yeah. and wrong and the my form was all off? But like, you know what? Good for me, because I was showing up.
I still, and I think people don't realize this, like, I still get embarrassed, like, when I watch videos back of myself running or lifting. Most of the time, I still think that I look silly. Like, I was out and having my mom film, like, an interval workout I was doing today, and I was like, I look good when I'm swinging my arm around and stretching, but you take a video of me running, and I feel like I look so awkward and I'm like so embarrassed about it. But like that still is the case and still happens all the time. I also saw in the garage the other day like a really old rusted dumbbell, and it flashed me back to like, that's like what I used the first time I ever lifted weights, was just like rusted dumbbells that my dad had in the garage. I was like, I think I'll try this. And then I tried it and I was like, I hate this, I'm scared of this. And then I stopped, but then I slowly started watching more on Instagram and researching more. And then I was like, okay, maybe I'll join a gym and dip my toes back into this. And it took multiple times of in and out and in and out. And also so many different phases throughout the past 5 years of like how motivated I am in the gym, how committed I am, training by myself, working with personal trainers, maybe working out with friends, working out alone, taking a break, coming back, like all of these different arcs to be in the place that I am.
And I think using the example of going to the gym for the first time in a while, or if you're just, you know, trying something different, everyone else in that setting, you're like, okay, everyone's watching me, everyone can see you. One, they aren't, and no one mm-hmm. actually cares. And two, everyone else there has been in the same exact position where they have learned or they've helped someone else learn. No one's going to judge you. If at the very least, they're going to help you or going to be interested in helping you if you ask them a question. On your end, so what if people are watching you? Like, mm-hmm. if they are, maybe it's just inquisitive. How many times have you just looked around or like people yeah. watched? Or if they're being negative and watching you judgmentally, that has nothing to do with you because they don't know
it's
you.
True. But they yeah. shouldn't be, because it is cool to try. I think people do not try. People are too scared to try. And I applaud anyone who tries anything, because people are too scared and embarrassed to try. And it's also easy to cop out of something and not actually do it yourself. It's really easy, especially when it comes to writing something, having a creative thought, creating content, to just like ask AI to do it for you and like not actually flex your own muscles and like think about what you want to say or who you want to be creatively. So anyone who actually tries and shows up as themselves, I'm like, you're already 10 steps ahead of everybody.
With that said, I think it's almost like we've talked about this before where I feel like I have an easier time on like the first friend date than like the second and third and fourth, because the first time is like, oh, you're breaking the ice. There's easy starter questions. And the second time I'm like, okay, I have to remember things and I have to, you know, it gets a little bit more real. I'm kind of the same with hobbies where I am almost better at being either, you know, expert of things that I know really well or like very, very beginner. And something I want to push myself to do is to learn more about the things that I want to do. And one of those things I've been thinking about a lot is I want to buy a bike and I want to start cycling. I want to do it with my dad because he was a triathlete for years. And then he got injured, had different knee surgeries, and he hasn't really been able to like run, especially the past few years. But he also sold his bike. But now he's been swimming and he's ready to get back on a bike again. And I have always said and always thought that I would love cycling because I love to just like sit on the spin bike and put a scenic ride on and put music on. And like I've done a 3-hour ride before, like, you know, I can do that forever. And so I've always thought I want to do cycling, but it's always been very intimidating to me because I think it's a very technical sport. It's one, your fitness and endurance, but there's also like this bike, which is like a very unknown machine. And I'm not good with machines. I'm not good at driving.
No, she's not.
I'm not good at cars. I'm not good at transportation. So the bike itself literally intimidates me.
I'm not good at machines.
I'm not good at machines and stuff. So like actually the bike itself, it intimidates me because I feel like I would be like, okay, I have the endurance. I could do this. But I don't know the first thing about the machine that I'm riding. And so I want to start cycling this summer. I've started to look into bikes. I want to understand how the bike works. I want to understand the gears and the chains. I want to know what all of the different parts are called. I want to know.
People are going to listen and be like, what the fuck are you talking about?
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like dumb, but like, but that's how people get into it because they're like, oh, I chose these tires for this reason. I chose, you know, these chains and gears for this reason. You need this frame size. You need to, you know, have it set up so that you're in the right form. And like, I want to push myself to learn those things and know those things so that I feel really confident taking on that hobby and I don't keep myself in a beginner zone forever, because I think it would be very comfortable for me to be like, okay, I got a bike, I bike now, and then just like keep myself at that beginner level forever. And so I really want to actually dive into it in the way where like I'm unapologetically learning this, and I might sound stupid, but like I actually want to learn. So that's kind of the arc that I think I need to be on, is I'm good at the things that I'm really good at. And I'm good at being a stupid baby beginner level of things. And I want to make progress,
which is so sick. And the other thing I like about that is because I am very appreciative and grateful that I think we have a lot of people in our lives that I would be very comfortable being a beginner around and like making a fool of myself around. And I know that there are people that are similarly comfortable around me. Our friend is getting into, he's moving from indoor rock climbing to outdoor rock climbing. And he sent us like a 2-minute long haul. It was the most adorable thing, explaining all of the new gear that he just got, like a gear haul. I don't know anything about, I know carabiner and I know rope, and that's about it.
Okay, so he sent that because I asked him to, because I went on a hike with our friend Andrew last week. And he was talking like, because he would be like, oh, that looks like a really cool rock to climb. And I was like, tell me more. I was like, okay, because I was like, I don't want to sound stupid and I want to have baseline knowledge about things rather than just being like,
or just
rock climbing. Like, yeah, I just kind of want to learn. And so he was explaining different things to me. We ended up watching a Netflix movie that night, which is, everyone should watch this. It was like the most inspiring story ever. It was about a Sherpa. And oh my God, I forget her name, but it's a Nepalese woman. And she grew up in Nepal, and I'm going to go on like a tangent about this movie for a second. Everyone should find it on Netflix. And when she was younger, like her cousins and brothers and stuff, like they all worked as Sherpas on Everest. And she shaved her head and she pretended to be a boy because no woman could do it then. And she worked there. And then she ended up becoming the first woman to summit and survive. There had been a woman who summited Everest before and didn't survive. She became the first woman to summit and survive. Then she just like, she fell in love with it. She like really found her calling through like being a Sherpa and hiking Everest. So he's telling me about rock climbing. That night we watched a rock climbing movie on Netflix. He's showing me YouTube videos. And now I feel like I know a basic thing or two about rock climbing and the gear necessary, because And it's not
it's
even
an intellectual
like,
sport.
But it's not even like, oh, I want to learn about this gear. It's also like, wait, I see that you're excited about this.
Yeah.
100%. I'm going to sit here and listen to you and be like, okay, and what does this do? And what
because
does this
I'm
do?
Scared of it. I've gone indoor rock climbing and I get to the top and I look down and whoo, I'm nauseous. So I don't it's actually think now. That I want to do it. But I would love to learn about what my friends are passionate about.
But part of that is like swallowing your pride and not being the coolest or not being like too cool to talk about something or be bad at something or admit that you're, you know, learning about something from scratch, which is something that I think we've all lost the ability to do. We've lost the ability to just like play around.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, we have to have it all figured out. It has to all be for something. It has to have an outcome attached and mm-hmm. it has to have, you know, this air of like, I'm already in the know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm already in the know. I already know everything. Like that's so boring. What is there to do if you already know everything?
I will say that sometimes we think that we're like, we think that something's more intimidating and complicated than it actually is. And for example, we live in New Hampshire and there's a lot of like really cool mountains, you know, to ski, but also to hike that are, you know, within an hour or two drive from us. And I've always been like, oh, we're so close to mountains to hike. And then I never do it because I'm like, oh, I don't really know the mountains and how to get there and stuff. I'm like, girl, Google Maps, all trails, like these things exist. So last week, I got my friend and I drove myself an hour to a mountain and I went for a hike and it was really simple and easy. But I'm
this
like,
girl does not know machines. Like,
and I don't, so I don't really drive and I also didn't really know the mountains. So it was like kind of intimidating, but I'm like, girl, it is time to grow up and just do things like just for fun and stop saying, I want to do that. I want to do that and wait to do it and just like actually do things. So I just picked a Saturday and I went and I drove an hour and I did a hike and I got off my phone. I made a chicken salad sandwich and I brought it to the top of the mountain and I sat and I ate it. And like, it was just fun and nice. And I was like, oh, that wasn't actually that hard to navigate myself here and go
like,
for a 5-mile hike. Like, it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah.
But I've just, there are things where you feel like, oh, if I don't identify with that, I can't do it. Like,
if I don't identify as
like a hiker who like knows everything about hiking and knows all the mountains and knows the best spots, it's like, no, I can look up a trail on all trails and I can show up and I can do it. Like, you know, it doesn't have to be that deep. What are you wanting to do this summer, some of your hobbies? I know I said cycling is one of mine, and I can definitely think of some more casual, low-key things that I want to do, but what is kind of top of mind for you?
I'm going to swim with dad more.
Yeah.
Speaking, our dad can't run anymore due to a knee situation, and I feel like I've always swam with him, but there's like an outdoor pool near us, which I think is really fun in the summer to go more consistently. Also, like surfing more by myself is something I did a lot more last summer. But it's so easy to just go out by myself, especially, you know, if you know the spot and the people there, kind of.
Because you used to swim, like, actually, like, competitively and stuff for sport, does it, like, what is your deal with
that? Well, I always did distance. So what I do is I get in the pool and I start swimming and then I stop when I hit, like, a distance that I'm fine with.
But I mean, like, frequency-wise. Like, do you think that you
would
be able to
just... I don't
care,
but you're getting ahead of yourself.
This is the...
Chill,
do it. No, that's what I'm saying.
No, this is the point.
I'm saying, like, because you swam competitively and stuff in high school, and then since then, it's been, like, very, very sporadic. But do you think you would consistently do it, but, like, in a fun way? Like, not in, like, a serious... I'm training specifically for this, but, like, I'm going to swim once a week.
Yeah, I'm also not the type to be, like, I swim 3 times a week, and I do this 3 times a week, and I do... It's probably going to be like, ooh, nice day.
I swim when I want to swim.
I have time. Let's go swim.
Yeah.
Which is more the vibe and also more the vibe of the summer that I would like to have, which is more just like, I'm going to do a lot of shit when I want to.
Yeah.
And it's just going to work out and it's going to be fun and great. And even if no one, if people want to come and do things with me, everyone is invited all the time.
That's, you know, that's a really
nice thing
too.
And if no one wants to come and do things with me, I will still go do them by myself.
Mm-hmm. A little bit of an open door policy.
Which I like being home because people will come over and just like,
mm-hmm.
walk in, or they'll call and be like, can we hang out?
Mm-hmm.
They're like, can I come over for dinner? And I'm like, yes, you can. And then I like when people actually arrive, even if I'm upstairs, someone else like in the house will open the door. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, hi.
I think,
how are you? And they're just in the house.
I think we also need to be able to fill short amounts of times with things and not be like, oh, if I'm doing this, I have to like, you know,
block
do it all
the
way and I have to block off time. Like you can take 15 minutes to open your book. You can take, the other day I rode our beach bike 5 minutes to the beach. And then when I was about to go home, I was like, what if I took the long way home? And so I just did 2 miles, like a mile down the road and a mile back. So I added like, what, 10 minutes to my journey, but for a spurt of like listening to music and doing like a little beach bike ride in the sun. And it was really chill. And it's like, we so easily will get sucked into our phones and scroll for 10 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, because we're like, oh, I don't have time to do anything. We can do other things for that short of amount of time.
This summer is not about, you know, the grind. It's not about self-helping yourself into oblivion. It's not about, you know, trying to change yourself or get stressed or, you know, go off the rails. This summer is about playing outside, and this summer is about enjoying what you're doing, and it's about doing more and getting off your phone a bit more and just playing outside and playing around and taking it a lot less seriously, approaching things calmly so that you actually get sustainable positive energy and positive impacts out of things.
I think the idea is let yourself pursue your ideas and like listen to your intuition. Like let yourself go do something for 15 minutes. Let yourself take on a creative project because you had the idea, even if you don't know much about it or don't think you can do it perfectly. Let yourself go do something that you see other people doing and join in, you know, join a beach volleyball game, join a spike ball game, you know, ask your friend to go for a walk or a run or try something. And also, you know, I don't want to neglect the fact that like we also all have like jobs and work and things like that. But also when it comes to that, like don't bottle yourself in. Let yourself like pursue those things passionately too, and like show up as yourself and be creative and, you know,
put effort
follow
in.
Your ideas and put effort into your job and your work too, you know, show up as yourself and be creative and kind of commit yourself to that too, because I think that is just as rewarding. And sometimes something that Catherine and I talk about is like the more you do one thing, the more you have momentum to do all the others. So it can start with just one thing. It can start with just one intention. And the more that you do that, the more you're going to feel kind of that energy and momentum build to really keep it up and keep that vibe going. So the sooner that we can, you know, make one change, set one intention, I think the better we're going to build on that energy for the summer.
We're getting back to summer 2016, but so much better.
But so much better.
Because we're all more capable. All more, way more capable of doing more interesting things and doing them better and doing them more enjoyable and actually being aware of how good the summer is and is going to be. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you like this episode, please send it to a friend, leave us a review, leave us a comment if you're listening on Spotify. And if you want to follow us on Instagram or TikTok, it's @AndCatherineKaneen,
@CarolineKaneen,
or @GirlsWithGoalsPod anywhere. And with that, we will talk to you next Monday.
Bye.